Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Jackie Miller as my special expert guest. Jackie Miller is a human behavior specialist, nutritionist, and certified lifestyle educator who survived the diagnosis of terminal cancer. She shares this experience in her book, The Lopsided Gal, and travels nationally teaching individuals, families, and businesses the art of dealing with crisis and taking charge of their own health and life. As a radio talk show host in Denver, Colorado in the 1980s, Jackie gave a voice to a variety of topics related to health and wellness, marketing, networking, education, and business. Today, Jackie works with parents and children to prevent and treat childhood obesity through exercise, good nutrition, and healthy food choices. Jackie has been active with the Arizona Small Business Association, the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and has served as president of several women's associations. Good morning, Jackie, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thanks, Corey. It's good to be with you.
Your current involvement with the natural health industry, Jackie, is extensive. You know, you've got a great background. You've been doing what you have been doing for a long time. So can you tell us what you're doing these days and maybe some of the steps or events that occurred in your life that brought you to where you are today?
Well, yeah, that's a long trail. I, as you mentioned in the intro, I am a breast cancer survivor of a terminal diagnosis, and I think that's where I got interested in the immune system and studying health, because before that I was a behavioral specialist and worked with corporations around the country. And once I was diagnosed with cancer, of course, that kind of puts a different light on how you perceive things in life, and I started studying the immune system, and that's where I really got interested in nutrition and how food affects our bodies and those kind of things. And I knew our body was made to heal itself, so I just kind of dove into that and then kind of worked that into our business. I had two partners in Denver, and we were doing wellness programs in association to the behavioral program. So we worked that in to our business offering wellness programs. And everything's just kind of evolved to where I'm at now, with being a holistic nutritionist and working with families and corporations around the country.
Yeah, that's marvelous. Now, when you speak about the immune system and then surviving a terminal diagnosis, looking back now where you were, how you felt then, how you feel now, how can you explain the fact that you survived, and what did you learn through that process about health and the immune system?
Well, I think I was lucky as with the family I was born into, because my mother and grandmother both believed in herbs and those kind of things. So back in the 80s, when it was kind of taboo to even talk about herbs, my parents had, grandmother had already instilled in me the things that they could do in your bodies. And so I started researching that and found that, you know, I really believe, I have a strong faith, and I really believe that our bodies were made to heal themselves. But we do a lot of damage to our bodies over the years, you know, putting the junk food in, not exercising, the pollution, just everything. You know, we've talked about this many times. There's so much that you do to yourself that sometimes you're unaware of. And I knew at that point with a terminal diagnosis, and my kids were little. I mean, they were like 6 and 7 years old, and I kind of wanted to be around for them to grow up. So I started figuring out that the best thing for me to do was to figure out how to get my body at its optimum so that it could fight off the cancer. And I was a firm believer in that. I knew it could do that. I knew God wasn't done with me yet, because I felt like I had a lot left to do in this world, a lot to be there for my family and other people, and a mission in life. And so I just really started studying that and tried to figure out, how do I get this body I've been given to optimal condition so that it can fight this off?
So obviously education was critical. You had to acquire information. Where did you go? Where did you start? Did you consult with professionals? Did you go to the internet? Did you buy books? How did it all happen?
Well, I spent a lot of time at the library. Back, you know, in the early 80s, not everybody had a computer in their house like we do now. So if I was going to be on the internet, I had to be at a library or somewhere, you know, that I could have access to a computer, which wasn't real often. And so I spent a lot of time at the library. I bought a lot of books on herbs. I talked to my grandmother extensively, my mom. I tried to seek out those people. And at that time, I was in Denver, Colorado. And Denver, Colorado is kind of a holistic area in that, you know, you've got Boulder and all of the, I don't know what they call them up there anymore. They were thought to be a little strange back then, which was where the people involved in herbs and natural growing of their own food and gardens and all that kind of stuff kind of hung out. And so I started networking and trying to seek out those people that I knew might have information for me. I visited a lot of health food stores because back then, and I think even now, even more so, the health food stores had computers set up to where you could go in and put in an issue, a health issue, or an herb, and it would tell you all about that herb and what application it had and dosage and all of that kind of thing. So I just probably was a menace to a lot of people asking questions during that time, just to glean all the information because, you know, you have to remember my mindset. I was fighting for my life at that point. So I was doing everything and talking to anybody and everybody I could to gain that information I needed.
Now, we met at the Clayton College conference in Georgia, and since then we've become, you know, good friends. We've met your husband, Dale, and your son, PJ, and we've actually stayed with you in Arizona, and we've really enjoyed your company. And, you know, this is the wonderful thing about meeting people with like-mindedness. But how are you involved with Clayton? Can you tell us about that?
Well, out of that experience with the cancer, one of the things I started doing was researching how I could get more information, of course, and finding a holistic attitude in an education form was a little tough back then, and I ran across Clayton College in the back of a magazine, actually. And I actually flew back to Alabama and met with them three times before I decided to enroll because I'm just that kind of person. I want to do my due diligence. I want to check them out. I want to find out, is this the place I need to be? Are they going to give me the best information? And I really felt like Clayton was where I needed to be for my education. So I actually enrolled in their program all the way through their doctorate program and became a student of theirs. And then when we met at the conference, of course, we were both presenters at their annual conference. And over time, and, you know, years now, Clayton has also become a client of mine, and I have worked with their entire staff on behavior training for leadership and stress management, time management, those kind of things. So it's kind of evolved. It's just one of those great things about meeting people, like you say, when you travel all over the country. It's such a blessing and such a pleasure to get to meet different types of people and have those friendships and those networking opportunities evolve into greater things.
Now, let's talk about your role as a human behavior specialist. I know that I filled out a profile on myself, sort of Tracy, and it was fascinating, the outcome. It really helped me to see a different component to myself. And maybe you can talk about what that was and actually what you do as a human behavior specialist.
Of course, behavior, I think, affects everything that we do. I mean, it's how we act, how we react to things, which can add or hinder our health and our relationships in life. And so as a human behavior specialist, back in the 80s, we were working with companies, training corporations around the country to create better leadership teams, better time management, stress management, conflict resolution, those kind of things. And when I use it in my practice, every client I have completes a profile because if they understand themselves better, then they are more apt to be open to understanding why they might be doing things that are sabotaging their health. A lot of times we do things, and what I have a favorite phrase that you've heard me say many times is people are unconsciously conscious. And we do things before we realize we've done it. Sometimes we don't even know we did it. And being able to create through the profile that I use, the DISC profile, an avenue for people to better understand themselves so that they understand it's okay to be who they are, but let's deal with who you are and let's put it to use in your life so that you become better at relationships, you become better at understanding how you can make opportunity happen in your life, both health-wise and business-wise. So as a behavioral specialist, there are so many things and applications, not only for the individual that takes it, like you and Tracy did, in understanding how you're coming across to other people, how you're being perceived in a relationship as a man and wife, but how you're being perceived in a business situation. Also, in my practice, I use it so that I can better coach those people that are clients of mine. Because if I understand your bottom line detail or high conformity type person, that allows me to coach you in that manner so you hear, in quotes, if you will, what I'm saying. If you're bottom line, you want very quick responses. You want one-page things. You want very, very succinct answers. So if I know that about you, when I'm coaching you through a health process or a business process, that's how I'm going to communicate with you, is in a very direct, bottom-line way. If you're a very detailed person, I know I need to explain everything out to you. I need to maybe give you research venues you can go to and look at. I need to be able to explain things in detail to your satisfaction, not mine, but to yours. Because what we teach is people to just flex their style for 5 minutes while they're communicating with another person so that they hear them.
So how would someone go about having this profile done if they were interested, like someone that was listening to our interview?
Well, it is on my website. You can go to my website at cdoaz.com and go to the profile section. And there are several different types of profiles there that you can just take online. You purchase it, and then you receive an email with the instructions. You take it. You can print it out. And everything, it can be anywhere from a 10-page to a 32-page typewritten form or, you know, information that you get back. So it's very informative. I think when we did the one on you, we did the more extensive one. So you know how much information you get on it. But you can go right to the website and request it, purchase it, request it. You receive an email and just go from there.
So this is great to recommend to a client, as a personal trainer, as a CEO of a company. It would be great to have all the employees go through this process so that he or she would know or have an idea about the kind of profile and behavior expectations for each employee. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Especially I work with some personal trainers that use it with their clients as well, because like you and I are in a coaching situation when we're working with people. So you're trying to get that point across. You're trying to explain and communicate to that person. And the better that we can communicate it in their style for just that short time that we're with them, the better results we get from that client.
Now, you're also a nutritionist. So what are some of the most important nutrition principles that you teach?
There are several things that, with a question like that, the first thing that comes to my mind is balance. Probably one of the most important things that affects every aspect of our life is we must keep everything in balance to keep us healthy and happy. Because if we're not happy, that impacts our health. And if we're not healthy, that impacts how happy we are. So it's just kind of a vicious circle. So balance not only in our life in general, but in our eating habits and our activities, all of those things. Moderation is probably another thing. In my practice, I feel like diet is a four-letter word that we don't use. So you learn to do things in moderation. You should be able to eat what you want, I think, when you want. But the key is want. As you get healthier, your wants change into a more healthier realm. So the things that you want change as you get healthier. Another thing is probably understanding and listening to your body. We are all unique, and it is important to realize that one size does not fit all in today's world. And it's important to teach how the body uses food so that your clients understand their choices and how they are in charge of their own health. And I think when I'm working with clients, one of the biggest principles I try to get across to them is that they are in charge, that they have the responsibility as well as the option to change their life and make it better. But they have to take that responsibility and act on that option.
That's very nicely said, Jackie. Now, you wrote a book about your experience with cancer. Can you tell us about the book, the name of the book, and what your prime message in the book is?
Well, The Lopsided Gal, I wrote, it's basically my journal of how I felt, what I was doing, what was happening to me during that time of going through the cancer. I titled it that because I had an 84-year-old aunt that was my mom's favorite aunt. She wrote my Aunt Lucille and said, Jackie's got breast cancer. And my Aunt Lucille wrote me back and said, welcome to the ranks of the lopsided gals. And I thought, you know, that's really so appropriate because you become lopsided not only emotionally, physically, but spiritually. And impacts every aspect of your life when somebody tells you you have cancer. But then to tell you you're terminal, that really has an impact on you. And the book was put out in 1986, and now at the editors, we're actually doing a rewrite, and it'll be republished hopefully later this year. So it's being edited now. The whole premise of it is to teach people that you can get through this, even with a terminal diagnosis, that I'm not any different than anybody else out there that may be listening to this interview that is going through cancer, whether it be terminal or something that they've got a early detection on and they're going to beat it. But I went through the same ups and downs. I went through the same emotions. I went through everything that everybody else goes through. And I've had many, many people tell me when I've spoke around the country with my book that it was good to know that they weren't unique, that I was experiencing the same thing they were. So I think the message is just that you can get through it, that, you know, you can do it, that it's natural to feel the way I felt when I went through the depression. I went through different things. But it's something that you can get through. And I kind of subtitled The Blessings, Trials, and Humor of Breast Cancer because I'm kind of a strange person. I think there's a lot of humor in life, and having my wig fall off at a volleyball game when I'm playing Argentine parents at the World Cup soccer team for my son was humorous to me. And so I told about that story in the book. The money you save on shampoo by being bald. So, you know, I put everything in there. I did not edit out things I didn't want people to hear because I felt it was important for people that read the book to know how down I was, what I saw humor in, what I could eat, what I couldn't eat, why I was sick, how I felt when I was sick, the hours I spent around the commode throwing up, all of those things were things I went through, and I felt that those things had to be mentioned in the book.
Now, that's fantastic, Jackie. Now, if I know you're a grandmother, and let's say that one of your grandkids, oh, maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, came up to you and said, Grandma, what is cancer? How would you explain that to her?
Well, I would probably just say that it's something that happens in your body when some cells and things get sick because we haven't taken care of our body the way we have. And it's something that you can overcome. It's something that you have to be aware of and learn to listen to your body so that you know when you're sick. And you need to research and ask questions just like you're doing right now by asking Grandma what it is. So you have to always be open to asking questions and learning.
So you wouldn't tell her that it was something from an outside force that came inside of you and started eating you up. You're kind of implying that there's something wrong with your own cellular matrix, that it's a function of what's going on inside your own body, which is kind of unlike the conventional view, which teaches people that cancer is caused based on certain genes going crazy or that you're not really participating other than being an innocent victim, that you really don't have anything to do with it. So would you agree that a lot of people have a different view of cancer than you do?
Oh, yeah. You know, let me clarify. You said a 7-year-old grandchild. I'm only going to tell her what I think she can comprehend.
Yes, but you know what? When you speak to children, usually the same message is needed to speak to adults because our knowledge of nutrition, and like I find most people have no idea what cancer is, and yet it's everywhere. It's permeating society left, right, and center. But how many people actually have a correct awareness of what it truly is?
Well, I know you're right. Yeah, it involves everything, everywhere around us. You know, it's not something that goes awry in your body on its own. It's how to get in your body, you know, that kind of a thing. So if I'm speaking to an adult, then I would talk more in a realm of, you know, the probably the holistic view of how, what their lifestyle is and what's happening and those kind of things.
Yes, of course. Now, what if someone you knew, maybe a patient or a client or a friend, someone in your family was diagnosed with cancer? They would be frightened, possibly. They'd be experiencing various emotions. But Now they have to take steps. So what is your advice in this day and age, with the knowledge that's available, with what you've experienced, and with the knowledge that you have, what is your advice to them if they asked you, Jackie, what should I do?
The first and foremost, I think I would do what I tell people is find out as much as you can about the type of cancer you've been diagnosed with. One of the ways that I suggest they do that is to get a second opinion. It never hurts to talk to two different opinions in the medical field. The idea that we have all the answers ourselves or that one doctor has all the answers, I think, is something we have to be cautious of. And I would suggest that they learn all they can on themselves. One of the things when I'm speaking in reference to my book at conferences and keynotes and things is I try to teach people, especially women, to get the doctor off the pedestal. Now, I'm not against allopathic medicine as a whole, but we have a tendency in the U.S. society to go with whatever the allopathic doctor says. I'm really an advocate for the patient to research it yourself, get all the information you can, find out everything you can, talk to everybody you possibly can that's either had cancer. That's not hard to do because one in every three people, I think it is, has had somebody within three people of them has had some type of cancer. So it's not hard to walk into a room and get several opinions on different types of cancer nowadays. But talk to everybody you can. Find out everything. Find out what foods are going to boost your immune system. Find out what supplements, all of those kind of things that are going to help. It's just a matter of taking charge of your own health and finding out what you know. When I had cancer, I went as far as considering flying to Seattle because that was one of the best cancer research centers. I actually called Seattle Research Center, and the research PhDs actually talked to me on the phone. So a lot of times we think, oh, I would never be able to talk to a research scientist. Well, yes, you can. You just have to make the effort to find out how to get to them. So there's a lot we can do for ourselves, but work as a team with your doctors if you're going to a conventional doctor. Find out all you can. Find out all the information. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I think that's one of the best things that you can do. And then seek out alternative things. But you want to make sure you go with your gut with alternative things. There are so many things that are out there that are called quote-unquote alternative. Does it make sense to you? Does it feel in your gut like this has really got some logic to it or could work? Or spiritually, do you think it'll work? You know, you just don't want to shotgun it. You want to go with your gut and go with your research that you've gotten. But I think information and education is the key.
Now, did you find that using any particular dietary supplements were really useful? Do some stand out more than others?
When I was going through the cancer?
Yeah, or like, for example, like for cancer treatment, you know, there's different types of conventional treatment, but when you get into alternative therapy and dietary supplements, is there any approach that you would just say automatically, you know, increase your intake of this or take that, or is there something that you found was really helpful to you?
Well, for me, you know, you have to remember back in the 80s when I was going through this, nobody took supplements hardly at all. I mean, you're kind of on the borderline if you even took vitamins and that kind of thing. So the foods, you know, the high antioxidant foods that would boost and build your immune system, your antioxidants to fight off those diseases. If you can find that in today's supplements, you have to really look, you've got to find a good, pure supplement that has a good formulation to it that isn't full of fillers and junk on the market. But I really believe that we're all unique and we've each done individual damage to our body, so to say one thing's good for one person, it wouldn't be good for another person. So I've, you know, through testing and different things, I think you just have to kind of find out. I don't think that you can go in and say, other than there's some basics in life, I think you need to take omega-3s. You need to be taking a good antioxidant multivitamin, coenzyme Q10, different things like that that you know over the years have been proven to really work. But to sit down and say, you need to take this to every person, I don't think works.
Now, you're an American citizen and you reside in Arizona. What has your experience with the U.S. healthcare system been like? We're Canadian, so we have more of a socialized medicine, and we have had some discussions with Americans while we're on our tour about what their experience has been like and what they would like to see, maybe some changes in the U.S. healthcare system. But what's your experience been like, Jackie?
I think, you know, when I was going through this, because I had that grandmother and mother that knew about herbs, and I'm, you know, a pretty straightforward person and very inquisitive, so I ask a lot of questions. The other people I have talked through over the years have had some major problems because I don't think they've known to ask the questions or done their own research. But the biggest problem I had when I was going through this was getting my oncologist to talk to me. I sat in his office at one point when they said, yes, you're terminal, and he would not tell me how long I had or how long they thought I had. And I sat down on his exam table and I said, I'm not leaving until you answer my questions. And it was the biggest issue. Doctors, they don't have a bedside manner. They are not taught that in school. They do not know how to communicate on one-on-one is the biggest thing that I find. They avoid answers. They don't want to deal with the tough questions, most of them. We're seeing some change in that now, and I think some of the different doctors that are coming out, but the majority of the problem I ran into was I couldn't get them to answer my question. I couldn't get them to communicate with me honestly. You know, there were evasive answers and those kind of things. I, at that point, did do chemotherapy, which now, if it was to come back on me, I'm not sure I would do chemotherapy, knowing what I know about chemotherapy. So I think the allopathic community is notorious for trying to treat the symptom instead of looking for the cause, and I think we as a patient need to look for the cause. They're all prescription happy, in my opinion, but I think some of those things are slowly changing as the baby boomers begin to take more charge. We're the ones that want to live longer, healthier, and so I think we're the ones that are doing more questioning and wanting to, you know, to look at those alternative things or integrated medicine ideas that may be happening. But my experience overall, I would say, you know, 1 out of 100 was probably about 50. There's a lot of things I would do differently now than I didn't know to do then. But the majority of people I talk to are not happy with how they're treated or how their questions are answered and the care they get. You know, people are kind of worried about going to the hospital. You come out sicker than you went in, or you get something while you're there. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag here.
Now, we're looking at people and the population in general as we travel around, and we see that there is a health care crisis. Obviously, there's some changes that need to be made. Now, regarding public education, can you give us a couple of ideas that you think they could implement to affect the changes that we need to see? And then, because it, obviously, we've got some pretty heavy problems with like literally speaking, with obesity in America. People are eating too much of the wrong kinds of food. It seems to be stemming from young people, and the education system even supports it. So how do you think the public education system could ultimately affect consciousness so that people would eat differently and live differently?
Well, that's a big topic. You know, the kids are our future, and I think starting from the very kindergarten point, and some of it's starting to happen very, very slowly, but it is very slowly as we're getting the soda pop out of the vending machines at the schools. I'd like to see the vending machines out of the schools, period. I don't care if they have soda pop or juice in them. I'd like to see them out of there. I would like them to go back to people taking their lunch from home, actually. I'd like to see having nutritionists and educated people in the lunchroom preparing those meals fresh. There's a lot of schools, a lot of charter schools that are kind of working on that, proving that they can grow their own food and provide a good, healthy option for kids and not have the fast food, not have the processed food that a lot of the cafeterias are serving around the country. The kids are our future, but the parents are in charge of those kids, and I think the parents have to uprise, really, and we have to demand that our kids are eating healthier in the schools. But we have to set the example. We can't run through a fast food place and then be mad at the school because they're, you know, they've got Subway or Pizza Hut as an option for lunch at their high schools. So I think it still has to go back to start with the responsibility of the family and the individual person that wants to see that change happen. The other thing is, I think, you know, our education system has evolved into kind of a supply on demand, if you will. When I was in school, we had home ec. We learned about food. We learned what was healthy, what wasn't. We learned about the growing process and how food was farmed and all that. They don't even have home ec at schools anymore. They don't teach nutrition. They don't teach home economics. None of that is even offered. So what we're seeing is our education system, and this is, you know, purely my opinion, it's like armpits. Everybody has one, but they're evolving into a supply and demand of what's the easiest route, I think. We're not teaching the tough stuff. We're not teaching the essentials of life in our schools anymore. And I think until we start doing that, the generations that we're raising are going to have some problems with mental capacity, because these kids, the early nutrition isn't getting there. The health and developmental stages in our kids is going to be affected. We're seeing more and more diseases manifesting at earlier ages, just like the type 2 diabetes used to be called adult onset. I'll tell you, these obesity programs that we're running here in the Phoenix area, I've got 7- and 9-year-olds with full-blown type 2 diabetes. That's not an adult. So, you know, we're seeing those diseases manifest, and it all relates back to, like you and I have said before, if you are what you eat, eats. We're taking the easy way out, growing our food, manufacturing it, all of that sort of thing. It's just, you got me on a soapbox, Corey.
Yeah, good. Well, you're the best one to be up on it. That's wonderful. Jackie, thanks so much for your insight and sharing your experience with cancer, and I know that's going to help either someone listening directly or someone that they know, and they can say, look, there's this person that was diagnosed with terminal cancer. They survived. It changed their life. They're into whole food nutrition now. They have a new lease on life, and it was through education, and I think that's the key. We have to move forward and learn and have the desire to want to be well. Now, you've got several websites. Maybe you can share those website addresses with us so that our listeners can get to you and learn more about you on the internet.
Okay, sure. The JackieMiller.com, www.JackieMiller.com, and Jackie is spelled J-A-C-Q-U-E, Miller, is a site right now that will go to my health practice site, the nutrition practice site. In the future, however, because I'm in the process of doing some rebranding, it will not go to the health site. It'll go to my overall speaking and corporate training thing. But you can get to the health site through that, or you can get to it through the Health Style Choices. And that's a health site where you can sign up for my newsletter, buy products, my books, my CDs, or you can research any health issue concern that you may have. You can just go on there, and there's tons and tons of research about different supplements as well as different diseases and things. The CDOAZ, which actually stands for Career Dimensions of Arizona.com, right now is my training and speaking site where you can go in and take the behavioral profile. And that's going to be integrated with that Jackie Miller site later in the year. So just remember how to spell Jackie, J-A-C-Q-U-E, Miller. And if you Google that or go JackieMiller.com, they'll be linked to each other.
Fine. And for everyone listening, I will list these website addresses on Jackie's bio, and you can find that in the SNU archives. Jackie, our time is gone. Thanks so much for this interview and participating as my special expert guest on this month's edition of SNU.
Well, thanks, Corey. I appreciate the opportunity, and just thanks to your listeners, and just want them to remember education is the key. You've got to educate yourself and the people around you to stay healthy.
Excellent. Jackie Miller is a human behavior specialist, nutritionist, and certified lifestyle educator. She shares this experience and also her knowledge and her experience as a cancer patient and survivor in the lopsided gal. She travels, she teaches, she works with people on all kinds of levels in wellness, marketing, networking, education. Jackie Miller, we thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.